A massive battleship cuts through thick fog. The captain spots a light dead ahead and radios sharply, "Change your course." The reply crackles back, "I'm a lighthouse. Your move." This isn't just a clever nautical story, it's a perfect metaphor for how we treat our emotions. We command them to move, to disappear, to get out of our way. But emotions, like lighthouses, aren't going anywhere. The question isn't whether they'll be there, it's whether we'll learn to navigate by their light. Most of us have been taught that success means controlling our emotions, staying positive, and pushing through discomfort. We've internalized the message that negative feelings are obstacles to overcome rather than information to understand. But what if this entire approach has it backwards? What if the very strategies we use to manage our inner lives, suppressing difficult feelings, forcing positivity, ruminating endlessly, are precisely what keeps us stuck? The path forward doesn't run around our emotions, it runs straight through them. Your brain is a storytelling machine. Right now, it's weaving together sensory data, memories, and emotions into a seamless narrative about your life. These stories feel absolutely true, but they're representations, not reality itself. The surrealist painter René Magritte captured this beautifully when he painted a pipe and wrote beneath it, "This is not a pipe." He was right. It was paint on canvas representing a pipe. Similarly, your thoughts about yourself aren't you. They're your mind's representation of you. This distinction matters enormously because we get hooked by our thoughts, mistaking mental representations for unchangeable truth. When you think, "I'm terrible at public speaking," that's not a fact. It's a story your mind created from uncomfortable experiences. Once hooked, you might avoid presentations for years, letting this narrative shape your career. These hooks follow predictable patterns. Thought blaming treats thoughts as causes. "I can't ask for a raise because I'm too anxious," frames anxiety as the decision maker rather than your choice. Monkey mindedness traps you in hypothetical disasters, burning energy that could fuel solutions. Then there's clinging to outdated ideas, like Kevin, whose childhood defenses against an abusive father later prevented him from accepting workplace feedback. Most insidious is righteous rigidity, the desperate need to be right that prolongs conflicts, arguing past productivity because admitting error feels like defeat. When difficult emotions arise, most people develop elaborate avoidance methods. Bottling pushes emotions down until they erupt at the wrong moment. Research shows suppression strengthens emotions while depleting mental resources. The alternative, brooding, feels productive but intensifies distress. Most surprising is how cultural positivity becomes avoidance. Relentless pressure to be happy creates shame around authentic feelings, yet forced positivity undermines well-being. What if those negative emotions contain crucial information about your needs, values, and necessary changes? Virginia Woolf wrote that the beauty of the world has two edges, one of laughter, one of anguish, cutting the heart asunder. She understood what our culture often forgets. Difficult emotions aren't just necessary, they're valuable. Healthy anger motivates us to address injustice, from the civil rights movement to environmental conservation. Even envy reveals our deepest aspirations. That twinge when a colleague receives recognition points toward your own desire for growth. Rather than suppressing this discomfort, ask, "What does this envy tell me about my values?" Guilt serves as a moral compass, alerting us when actions don't align with values. Sadness creates space for reflection and signals our need for connection. Research confirms that embracing the full emotional spectrum leads to greater psychological flexibility and well-being. People who accept rather than judge their emotions show more resilience during stress and recover more quickly from setbacks. Our tendency to categorize emotions as positive or negative obscures their true nature. All emotions are informative and part of being fully human. Many dodge emotions like a hero avoiding challenges, but true courage means showing up fully. The Babadook illustrates this. The monster represents unprocessed grief. Peace comes only when the mother acknowledges its presence, feeding it just enough attention to keep it manageable. we tame our demons by acknowledging them. Self-compassion isn't excusing bad behavior. It's treating yourself with the kindness you'd offer a struggling friend. Research shows self-compassion, unlike self-criticism, motivates positive change. When we face emotions compassionately, we distinguish between healthy guilt, I made a mistake, and destructive shame, I am a mistake. Guilt motivates repair, shame paralyzes. Psychologist James Pennebaker discovered that writing about deep feelings for 20 minutes over 4 days significantly improved health. This creates cognitive diffusion, distance between ourselves and our thoughts. Rather than being consumed by I'm not good enough, we observe it as a mental event, not absolute truth. LeBron James refers to himself in third person when analyzing performance. LeBron needs to be more aggressive. This creates space for objective self-assessment. Research confirms third-person perspective reduces emotional reactivity and enhances problem-solving, developing psychological flexibility, the ability to be present with whatever arises while moving toward what matters most. Tom Shadyac directed blockbuster comedies like Ace Ventura and Bruce Almighty. Despite his 17,000-square-foot mansion, private jets, and extraordinary wealth, he was profoundly unhappy. After a life-threatening accident, he sold his mansion, moved into a mobile home community, and began using his resources to help others. His transformation wasn't about embracing poverty. It was about aligning his life with his core values: simplicity, community, and contribution. Research on social contagion reveals how easily we adopt others' preferences. Behaviors from smoking to happiness spread through social networks like viruses. We unconsciously conform to those around us, making decisions that aren't truly our own. Careers, partners, lifestyles chosen based on external expectations rather than internal values. Values differ from goals. Goals are achievable endpoints, getting a promotion, buying a house. Values are ongoing directions for living. Creativity isn't something you achieve and check off. It's a quality you express throughout your life. Values provide a compass rather than a destination. When Army Sergeant Joseph Darby discovered photographs of prisoner abuse at Abu Ghraib, he faced an excruciating choice. Reporting aligned with his values of integrity and justice, but would cost him friendships and possibly his safety. He chose values over comfort, demonstrating that living your why sometimes requires courage. Grand transformations rarely happen overnight. Dr. John Gottman's research reveals that lasting relationships aren't built on grand gestures, but on responding to daily bids for connection. When your partner comments on a sunset, how you respond, turning toward them with interest or away with indifference, predicts relationship longevity with startling accuracy. The same principle applies to personal growth. Community college students dramatically reduced dropout rates after a brief intervention, shifting their mindset from, I don't belong here, to many students find the transition challenging. This tiny adjustment, seeing struggles as normal rather than evidence of inadequacy, made the difference between giving up and persevering. Motivation also benefits from tiny tweaks. Shifting from have to want to thinking transforms obligation into choice. Ted, initially reluctant to adopt healthier habits despite doctor's warnings, changed completely after adopting a child. Suddenly, taking care of his health wasn't about following rules. It was about being present for his son's future. We thrive in the zone of optimization, the sweet spot between challenge and capability. Too little challenge breeds boredom. Too much creates anxiety. Someone with low self-esteem might sabotage a promising relationship because success feels more threatening than familiar rejection. Breaking free requires intentionally choosing challenge over comfort, not reckless risk-taking, but mindful expansion of capabilities. In The Velveteen Rabbit, the skin horse explains that becoming real doesn't happen all at once. You become. It takes a long time. Our journey to emotional agility follows this path. We become authentic and fully alive, not by avoiding difficulties, but by engaging with them courageously. Emotional agility doesn't promise perpetual happiness. Instead, it offers something more valuable, the capacity to live meaningfully regardless of circumstances. This practice ripples outward. When we bring our authentic selves to interactions, neither suppressing emotions nor being ruled by them, we create spaces where others can do the same. The path isn't always straightforward. We'll get hooked by old stories and fall into familiar patterns. But with each return to these practices, we strengthen our capacity for resilience. In a world that prizes certainty over curiosity, choosing to become real requires courage. It means embracing vulnerability, acknowledging limitations, and remaining open to growth. The reward is a life of richness and depth, one where we're neither controlled by our emotions nor disconnected from them, but dancing with them in service of our highest values. Your emotions aren't obstacles to overcome. They're lighthouses guiding you home to who you really are. The only question is, will you learn to navigate by their light?